I tell you, I love it when God confirms that you got the right message. And I tell you, the special they sung tonight confirmed to me that God gave me exactly what I need to preach tonight. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 6, please. Jeremiah chapter number 6 tonight. And I'm going to preach a message to you. Just 3 points. Ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths tonight. Jeremiah chapter 6, one verse. And those of you that can stand, I'm going to ask you to stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Those of you that can stand. And this verse is used for a jumping point for a lot of different things. The Amish actually use this as well to talk about their old way of living. And I know that for a fact, by the way. But tonight, I want to use this for a very important reason. And I want you to see this. As God is speaking to the nation of Israel, verse 16, "And thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, there is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein." Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the time of the preaching of the word tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you might help me to convey what you've laid on my heart. And I pray, Heavenly Father, when it comes time for the invitation, those hearts that you speak to might obey you and come to this old-fashioned altar. Now I pray, Father, you'd help me. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated, please. The first thing I want to talk to you about in Roman number 1 is the old path of preaching. I'm talking about the old path of preaching. You don't hear this spoke about much here, but I'm so thankful that I could preach this with the confirmation that we have old-fashioned, fundamental preaching right here at Harvest Baptist Temple. And Pastor Lewis has been preaching that way for 44 years. And I'm thankful to know that Pastor Alan Holmes will continue that preaching here starting on July the 2nd. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, tells us a little bit more about that preaching. It says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." Now watch this. I know you've heard it, but we're gonna dissect it a little bit. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Now, preaching ought to do this. Preaching ought to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and preaching ought to be long suffering. And I'll be for doctrine. Now, reprove really means to expose. We need to expose the truth. And sometimes false truth needs to be exposed. It does. It needs to be exposed. It needs to be called out. What is wrong? It needs to be exposed. How do we know what's wrong? By the Word of God. It's by the Word of God. It's not tradition. It's not the way we've always done it. I've heard that before. Well, it's the way we've always done it. Well, the way you've always done it's wrong. This is what the Word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
Reproof is to expose. Rebuke is to correct sharply. Preaching should rebuke as well. And then exhort is to urge one to a course of conduct towards something that's correct. If you're going to exhort, you're encouraging someone to a course that's correct. I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to exhort you in the right direction. Preaching ought to exhort you to do right. Preaching ought to not just be correction, but exhortation as well. I'm so thankful that every single service we hear exhortation as well. You're exhorted to do right. You're shown how to do right in the Word of God. You're exhorted to go out and do right. I'm thankful for that. But we also see that there's correction given from the Word of God. There's rebuke and reprove given as well from the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 27. As we're talking about fundamental preaching here to start with. The old path of fundamental preaching. Let me tell you, you don't find much of that anymore. I thought it was by myself. You don't find that much anymore. You know, you feed on that here, and you don't realize you don't find it much anymore. You really don't. You get out and travel on vacation, and you try to find a church that is fundamentally preaching the Word of God. It's hard to find a church that preaches King James. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, it's not always easy to do. It's not always easy to preach the whole Word of God. But fundamental preaching is preaching the whole Word of God. It's not shunning away from things you know what people's doing. It's not shunning away from the things that's unpopular to preach. One thing that's very unpopular to preach in the world today is hell. Folks don't want to hear anything about hell. The other thing that's very unpopular to be preached today is hell. Is death. Folks don't want to hear anything about death. Well, guess what? People die every day. Guess what? Everybody's going to die till Jesus comes again. Did you ever think about that? Yes, you have. Everybody has thought about that, but most people don't want to hear about that. But it's true, my friends. The whole counsel of God must be preached. Now, I'm talking about fiery preaching. Fundamental preaching is fiery preaching. You look at the preachers of the past. The well-known men of God of the past were fiery preachers. Isaiah 58:1 says this, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Well, folks, I think you're going to have to start doing better. No, I don't think so. Cry aloud. Amen. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like the trumpet. Should have had somebody ready with the trumpet, shouldn't have. That went over good right now, about now, wouldn't it? But you could see what the Word of God teaches about preaching. Preach the whole Word of God. Preach the whole Word of God. Preach effectively. Cry aloud. Fiery preaching is what I'm talking about, such as we've had here, and I'm so thankful for it. And I'm not preaching anything we don't have. I remind you what we do have. And I'm so thankful for it. preaching with unction in the pulpit. Unction is a spiritual fervor. Unction is a spiritual fervor. And when we have spiritual fervor in the pulpit, it will produce action in the pews. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. And we need action from the pews to move out in the community. We need fearless preaching. There's not much of that in the world today. Fearless preaching. Acts chapter 4. And I have Acts chapter 4. And I had to give them verses 8 through 13 back there. But I'm going to read to you 8 through 14. Excuse me, 1 through 14. So if you want to turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 4, and that's all right, put 8 up. Don't worry about getting 1 up. And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. They was house arrested. Now watch verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. The number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, those that were in the house arrest, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set not of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. My dear friends, fearless preaching in front of those great religious leaders who stood against them. Fearless preaching. Who I'm sure while Peter was preaching at him, he was pointing the finger, of whom ye have rejected. That's the kind of preaching you want to hear. You know, I tell you, there's some things I can't understand. I just be real plain with you about it. I've been here a long time. Not near as long as Pastor Lewis, of course, but I've been here a long time. I've been here a lot longer than a lot of you. And it amazes me how somebody can come here and be here 2, 3, 4 years and sit underneath this dynamic preaching and walk out and leave and go to a church that is deader to doornails when it comes to preaching. Amen. Tell me how you could do that. How you can go to church that doesn't even believe in the assurance of salvation, doesn't even preach the fact that once you're saved, your name is written in heaven, and there's a place reserved for you there. But teaches you, if you work at it, you might make it. How could you leave this and go to that? There's something wrong inside you to be able to do that. I can't understand it, can you? I don't have that written in my notes. It came to me. Preaching the truth right down the line. You know, there's a Baptist college in Grand Rapids, Michigan that has decided that social drinking is all right. They teach that now. And because they started teaching that, some of their graduates have started teaching that to their churches. And now some of their churches have believed that and have started that. That social drinking is okay. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. I don't have that written down, but I know it, Charlie. Wine is a mockery. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, on that verse alone, I want to ask you a question. Knowing that one Old Testament verse, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, do you think Jesus ever tasted alcohol? Of course not. Now, the church we attend in Florida is right in the village where we live. It's about 500 people in the village. And that church is part of that group. And there's a lot of preachers down there in that village. And I'm sort of the odd one. I'm an independent Baptist. And from Ohio. Yeah, most of them are from Michigan down there. And at first, they give me the hardest time. I didn't beat up on them, they give me the hardest time. We went to, what's that clothing store called? Goodwill. I was looking for T-shirts. Didn't have a lot of clothes down there. And I was 16 before I realized Goodwill wasn't a brand name. But anyway, I was going through the T-shirts, and I see a red shirt that looked pretty new and slid it back. It was an Ohio State shirt. I'm getting that. 12:30 every day we meet for golf, a big bunch of them. I'm just 2 minutes from the golf course, and I have a golf cart, jump on it, go to the golf course, and 12:30 every day, I just go 5 days, weekdays, and we meet, and they divide up every day somebody different, and we have four-man scramble, and it's kind of fun, you meet different people. So I have on my house state Buckeye shirt, it has a big O on it for Ohio State. And one of those guys come up naturally with other Michigan guys around and said, "That's what Ohio State is, a big zero." I said, "No. That's how many times Michigan has beat Ohio State in the last 17 years." I hadn't heard much since. But the church we attend down there, and I really like the preacher there, I really do. And they're different. They're not near as evangelistic as we are, but they really know the scripture. They really, really do know the scripture. But that preacher just had a fit about the college, the churches, and social drinking. And he talked to me about it because he already knew. And I said, if it had been a Baptist, where I'd be at on it. He said, I don't really know a verse that I could draw a line and say that's it. Well, I quoted Proverbs 20, verse number 1. And you know, he got him a whole Wednesday night message up on the whole thing. On alcohol and the Christian. And his key verse, you already know what I'm going to say, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. But he probably had 40 scriptures that he used and preached hard on the subject. I tell you, and he was preaching to a lot of preachers there that were out of that college. A lot of preachers, old preachers too. My wife and I, they told us we were in the youth group down there. Because most of them were in their 80s or older. But that's sad, though, isn't it? Decide all once it's all right to drink socially, and then preachers start falling in line and following that. Yeah, that's okay. But see, what's next? You start that, what's next? What's next? You need to preach the truth regardless of the outcome. Roman numeral number 2. I'll move along here. David took a while this morning. I listened to him. I had guard duty, but I listened to the message this morning. I won't use the chairs. He did put them back. Number 2, the old paths of praise. Boy, I really want to park here for a minute. What's ever happened to excited Christians? Christians that really get excited. Whatever has happened to that? Christians who get really excited. Now, I know some folks get excited, but not very many. Some folks just stare. You know, there's a couple of people I know that secretly in golf, I call them statues. There's a lot to remember in golf. When they get up, they get ready to tee off. They get like this. And they're thinking the whole time. It may take them 2 minutes. And I secretly call Mr. Statue. Some of you look like a statue. Really? You do? No emotion. Some of you, I'm not sure you even have any teeth. Well, where's our emotions? Where's our excitement? John 15:11. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Preacher, I'm just full of joy. Really? We ought to be excited as children of God. We should be full of zeal. We should be excited. Should be eager as Christians to pursue what God has for us. He's done so much for us. And really, he's asked so little out of us. Can we not get excited for him? Can't we show some enthusiasm? Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. Then he said unto me, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I like the last part of that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where is the joy of the Lord in your life? You know, let's really work on being faithful to the Lord. Let's work on being faithful to Him. Let's be careful about our absence. I'm speaking to the folks that are here tonight. But I know there's folks that are not here that are listening, and they may have a good reason for not being here. They may have a no good reason for not being here as well. But absence can always lead to problems. Absence can lead to defeat. And we must be careful that we don't have zeal without knowledge and action without unction. And last of all, I want to talk to you about the old path of persistence, Roman numeral number 3. The old path of persistence. And this goes right along with the last part of the song that they sang tonight. Because of personal salvation. Ought to have a path, my friends, of persistence because of personal salvation. Galatians 2:20. You know it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the power of God that lives in me. I got it messed up. I live by faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Let me do it over. I'll read it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Think of that, my friends. He lives in here. He beats within my breast. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with my spirit that I am the Son of God. I'm His because He tells me I'm His. He witnesses to me. He beats within my breast. Whoops. I heard. Sorry, Charlie. Charlie's really laughing at me back there. Therefore, I want to live for him. He died for me. He gave his life for me. He lives in me. I want to live for him. He has taken all my sins away. Took them all away. Not only took them away, he removed the burden of my sin. I remember the day when I walked down that aisle, when I got saved, and I remember the day when I walked out of that church and I never realized the load I was carrying until I got saved. What a joy it was to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. and all the wonderful blessings that salvation brings, my friends. Oh, I want to serve him because I love him. He's done so much for me. What about you? Do you want to serve him because you love him? We're talking about old paths tonight. The old path of persistent. I want to be persistent in serving him. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Ecclesiastes 5, 4. How many of us here have made a vow to God? Don't raise your hand. Lord, forgive me for that. Lord, that thing keeps drawing me. Lord, I'm not going to go that direction again. I'm not going to go to that place again. Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to do that again. I promise I won't do that again. A vow. Lord, if you'll do this, I promise I'll do that. A vow. We've all made vows. I guarantee everybody in here has made a vow of some sort or another. Have a zeal. Have a persistence in keeping the vow. Persistence in doing that which is right. The old path of persistence. Surrender yourselves. You know, it'd be good just to surrender to him again. Some of you have not been able to keep your vows. Some of you have not been living the way you want to live. Some of you keep falling back into things you know you shouldn't be falling back into. Some of you don't have your joy anymore. You've lost your joy. Some of you are more worried about what you're going to do after church than what's going on in church. Some of you don't even stay for the invitation. Persistence. Because of perishing sinners. Look at Luke 14, 23. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be full. Saturday, November the 10th, it's coming up. And we're going to finish Fremont, right, Brother Pastor Belcher? We're going to finish Fremont, right? I got to speak up so you can hear me. I keep telling you to get hearing aids. I look down here, and there's four names down there. We're not going to finish Fremont that way. Someone said, oh, I've never seen no results yet. Well, it's not up to you to see results. Brother Boucher, there could have been a dozen people saved by now. We don't know. But it's our job to get the word out. That paper ought to be full of names. It's from 10 to noon, right? 2 hours. You can turn your TV off for 2 hours. Come join us. Amen? Persistence. The old path of persistence. The old path of praise. And we have the old path of preaching. We just need the other two. I wonder tonight, who needs to get this old-fashioned altar, rededicate themselves tonight? Who needs to get this old-fashioned altar tonight and recommit themselves to a vow they've made to God? Who just needs to get here tonight and recommit themselves to reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ? Preacher, I'm concerned. I'm concerned, preacher. I want to get back to the old path in my life. Let's stand together, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father.